Good morning. Today's daf in Sukkah is Mem. Discussion today is all going to revolve around Shemitah. Just in terms of how the daf coincides with the time of year that we're in is amazing. We've just been discussing it before we went online. We are now 3 weeks away from the Aschala, from the beginning of the Shemitah year. Shemitah year obviously begins on the first day of Tishrei. So what to do with the Esrog that's going to have Kedusha Shviyas? Now, as we already explained yesterday, so this year, the Esrog is not going to have Kedusha Shviyas. We're going to be spending the first part of this morning learning together exactly when the fruit that grows on the tree is going to be assigned to which year. So it happens to be that the Esrog is not assigned. The Esrog that we're going to be using this year is not going to be assigned to this year in terms of Shviyas. It's going to be assigned to the sixth year. Because as far as what is going to be determined of the Esrog, which we are going to be discussing momentarily, it could be Chanatas Esrog, it could be Lakitas Esrog. Again, terms that we're going to explain later on. But anyway, so the Esrog this year does not have Kedusha Shviyas. But the Esrog next year is going to have Kedusha Shviyas. So how to navigate, how to negotiate. So you recall, you remember yesterday, so a couple things that we pointed out yesterday. If the seller of the Esrog is an Am Haaretz, so the best thing to do is to try to get him to gift you the Esrog and not to sell you the Esrog. Why? Because if he sold you the Esrog, so that means that in exchange for the Esrog, you're going to give him money, and the money that he holds in his hand now has Kedusha Shviyas. And therefore, he has to act accordingly. He has to treat the money with the sanctity of Kedusha Shviyas. And he's an Am Haaretz, and he may not know how to do that. And you, by giving him the money, the Demei Per Shviyas, so you're going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. So that's number one. So get him to gift it to you. But as the Gemara pointed out, he may not want to gift it to you. So if he doesn't want to gift it to you, so then what you should do is that you should purchase from him an expensive lulav, and then the Esrog will come along as a gift. It is a harama, but this is the kind of harama which is allowed, right? Harama just simply means that there are loopholes that were within the system. It's not, this is not underhanded. This is not sly. This is just simply a loophole that is legitimate and acceptable. In order to avoid the problem of Demei Peros Shviyas being in the hands of an Am Haaretz, so therefore this kind of harama is allowed, okay? And and we learned yesterday that when it comes to the Am Haaretz, there is a little bit of Demei Peros Shviyas that you're allowed to give him, three meals worth, but you can't exceed more than three meals worth. Okay. That's what we saw in yesterday's daf. And that was basically a summary of what we learned yesterday. Not bad. Under 3 minutes summary of yesterday. Meanwhile, today, well, here's where we're going to begin the Gemara. Now, when we talk about Shviyas and Peros Shviyas having Kedusha, so we spoke about the idea that once a pre has Kedusha's Peros Shviyas, so therefore you have to eat it. You can't make commercial usage out of it. You cannot use it. You cannot destroy it. In other words, the way to properly consume it is to consume it, is to eat it. And so be that as it may, the Gemara now wants to know, so of the Dalaminim, so certainly the Esrog has Kedushas Peros Shviyas, because it's a pre. What we're going to entertain today, and I admit that prior to today's daf, I wouldn't have thought it, but it's very clear from today's daf, the Lulav is also going to have Kedusha Shviyas as well. Now, I know this is going to be a strange discussion, because the Lulav is something that is inedible. It is the frond of a palm tree. It is not edible. And maybe you want to argue that maybe when it starts growing, it's the heart of palm, and therefore once it was edible, so that may be true, but it's not. It's simply not. I'm saying something that's so obvious. It's not edible. And yet we're going to have an entire discussion in today's daf. It will occupy half of today's daf, this idea that the lulav is subject to Kedushas Peros Shviyas. So what we're going to have to do, it's necessary. What I'm going to have to do, well, we're all going to have to do, is we're going to have to expand our thinking just a little bit. The idea that something is a pre doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, that you can eat it. It means that simply that it's got usage for you. It benefits you. And as long as something has usage to you, so therefore it's called a pre in this discussion of Kedushas Peros Shviyas. And so therefore the lulav now has benefit to you. Now I'm going to give it away because the Gemara is just assuming that we knew this. And it's only coming up later. And the truth of the matter is it's not even in the Gemara, it's in Rashi. But nevertheless, I'll give it away now. What usage does the lulav have for us? I'm talking not about the mitzvah. I'm talking about just standard usage of a lulav. So the answer is that you sweep with the lulav, right? A number of times over the course of this Masechta, we talked about how the fronds of the lulav, if you detach the leaves and reattach it to a stick, so now you could sweep with it, right? Rashi a couple times in our Masechta called it the askoba, okay, the broom. So anyway, so you could use it for sweeping. Okay, I understand sweeping is a far cry from eating, but again, we have to expand. We have to expand our thinking, and we have to understand that when it comes to pears, kedusha shvius, it's not just fruit that we eat, but it could be anything that grows on the ground that we can make usage of it. Okay, good. Okay, oh, fine. So right. Phil, it's an excellent point. Once we expand our definition. So where is the limit? Meaning a rava, so I'll tell you, I understand you can make a broom out of a rava, but people don't. But the hadasim, I mean, I'll open up the case on hadasim. I'm not going to litigate it now because we have a daf to do. But I'll open up the case on hadasim. Hadasim smell wonderful. Meaning there is usage of the hadasim. Now again, I don't know if that usage is going to qualify. I'm not here, and I don't want to litigate it now, but you understand. I'm just appreciating your question. Once we're expanding the definition of what a pre is, so then, it can go on from there. Okay, anyway, but for our purposes today, because we have a daf to do, so we only have to focus on the lulav, we don't have to focus on anything else, because that's going to be the focus of today's daf. Yeah, so, starting now where we left off yesterday, Lamatesim Adveis, so the Gemara starts off the discussion, we're at the period. It's a short Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, about 6-7 lines from the bottom. E hachi. So the Gemara says, if this is true, lulav nami. So why are we making a whole big to do about the esrog? Right, try to get him to gift you the esrog, and if not, so then sell me your. So we're making a whole big discussion about the esrog. Why not make a discussion about the lulav as well? So right now the Gemara sidesteps it with a technical answer. Well, lulav barshisha sanichnas l'shviyasu. Well, the Gemara says the reason why we're not worried about it is because we're discussing a scenario in which you're going into the Shemitah year, like we're doing right now. And so therefore, the lulav was plucked off the tree prior to that. And so therefore, the lulav does not have kedusha shviyas, which only just then pushes the question forward. Meaning, okay, but then next year, obviously, it's going to be an issue. But the Gemara, even before the Gemara gets to that point. So the Gemara says, Yahachi esrog nami bashisha sanichnas l'shviyasi. So the Gemara says, okay, well, look, you can't give an ukimta in one of the cases, in one of the minim, and not have the same ukimta by the other min. So if by the lulav, the reason why we sidestep the question is because we're going into the Shemitah year, and I clipped it off the tree before the Shemitah year began, and therefore it does not have Kedusha Shviz because it's assigned to the sixth year. The Gemara says, well, say the same thing by the Esrog. And the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Esrog basa lakita azlinan. So the Gemara says, maybe by the Esrog, it follows Lakita. It follows the time that's clipped off the tree. Now, what we're going to do over here, and I told you that today's daf is going to be a very technical daf, and here we are with the technicalities. But it's an important technical discussion, meaning that when we have fruit growing, so what year is it assigned to? So this discussion is going to take place in the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to get a snippet of that discussion right over here as we discuss the esrog. Before we get to an esrog, so let me just make categories for us that's nice and easy to understand. Okay, let's talk about fruit in general. So fruit in general, so what year is it assigned to? It's not the time that the fruit gets picked off the tree, but rather it's the period called Chanata. Chanata means is that basically you have the first developments of the fruit of the tree, right? When it achieves a third of its growth, so it's at that point in time that that whenever that may be, that's the year that it's assigned to. So in other words, the assignment of fruit on a tree is not going to be contingent on when I clip it, but rather when it starts growing on the tree. That is when it comes to fruit in general. Let's talk about vegetables in general. So when we're talking about vegetables in general, so vegetables do not operate with the Shas Chanata, but rather with the Shas Lakita. Vegetables, in terms of assigning which year it belongs to, that's when I clip it from the ground and not when it grows. Okay, so we started growing peppers. I'm happy to report, and peppers. And so as far, we live in Chosaret, so unfortunately we don't even think about it, but in other words, in terms of assigning what year it belongs to, so it's not when it grows, and we got beautiful peppers that are growing, but rather it's going to be now a function of when you clip it from the ground. Okay, good. So that's now the basic categorization of fruits versus vegetables in terms of assigning which year it belongs to. What about an esrog? So interestingly enough, an esrog stands somewhere in between being a fruit and a vegetable. Okay, I know that's funny. In other words, if you have ever seen an esrog tree, we got a couple growing here in our community. So if you have ever seen one, it looks like a tree. And in fact, looks like they're beautiful. The tree is beautiful. The fruit is beautiful. Right? It's kind of funny that the esrog exists categorically somewhere in between being a fruit and being a vegetable. Okay, but that's the case. Rashi points out, I'm not going to show you the Rashi inside, but Rashi points out it's a function of irrigation. When it comes to trees are nourished by the rain, and that's it. That's all you need. But when it comes to an esrog tree, so it needs additional irrigation as well. And so therefore, it exists somewhere in between being a fruit and being a vegetable. Okay, now, with that stated, so here we begin. So the Gemara says, V'habein Rabbi Gamliel Uvein Rabbi Eliezer Lingin Shias Esrog Basar Chanata Azlinan. So the Gemara says, look, there is going to be a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel, as we're about to step into. But nevertheless, they do agree that when it comes to the esrog, and it comes to esrog in relationship to Shvius and Kedusha Shvius, it's going to follow Chanata. It's not going to follow Lakita. So the Gemara says, how do I know that did not? So here we are with the Mishnah. Esrog shav elilam begimel drachim liyarek bederek echad. So an esrog is going to be like a tree in three ways, but on the other hand, it's going to behave like a vegetable another way. Not behave like a vegetable, but have the status of a vegetable. So shav elilam begimel drachim. So in three ways, we're going to treat the esrog like a fruit, and that is le'arla l'rivai u'lishvias. So vis-a-vis that it's subject to arla, first 3 years after it's planted, so you're not allowed to benefit from the fruit. And revive, for the fourth year, you have to be podeh, or either bring it to Yerushalayim and eat Yerushalayim, or be podeh the fruit. And shvius, and it's going to be subject to kedusha shvius. Uli yerek bederech echad. And as far as the vegetable is concerned, how is it going to have the status of a vegetable? As we are now on the top of mem amud aleph, shebishas kitaso isiro, that vis-a-vis what year it's assigned to, so that's going to be when I clip it off the tree. But that's in as far as its relationship to Meiser is concerned. What do we mean by Meiser? So I'm going to just say over the Rashi outside. So we know that in a schedule of the Shemitah year, of the 7 years of the Shemitah year, of the Shemitah cycle, so we know that years 1 and 2, your Hafresh is going to be Truma Gedola, followed by Meiser Rishon, followed by Meiser Sheni. In year number 3, it's Truma Gedola, followed by Meiser Rishon, followed by Meiser Ani. And then we're going to do, and then v'chozer, and then you do the same thing for years 4, 5, and 6. 4 and 5 are going to be Truma Gedola, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni. And then year number 6 is going to be Truma Gedola, Meiser Rishon, and Meiser Ani. Now, so the only difference is going to play in terms of that second Meiser, whether it's Meiser Sheni or whether it's Meiser Ani. Of course, Meiser Sheni, I retain to myself, but I got to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat Yerushalayim. Meiser Ani, I got to give it to the Aniyim. So now, when I pick the esrog off the tree, so which year now is it going to be assigned to? So according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's going to be assigned not to the year in which it grows, which is a standard fruit, standard fruit measurement, but when it grows on the tree, but rather it's going to be a function of when I pick it off the tree. That is Shitas Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Esrog Shavah Le'ilan L'chol Davar. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, no, it's not going to be a function of when I pick it off the tree, but rather Chanata, meaning it's going to behave like a standard fruit tree. And so therefore, when it starts growing on the fruit tree, it's at that point in time, now that's going to be the year that it's assigned to. Now, this part's tricky, and it did take me a good amount of time to just wrap my head around, because I got lost, meaning that's the machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore what? So Rashi over here spells it out. And therefore, the machlokes between them is only esrog in relationship to Meiser. But as far as esrog and its relationship to Shemitah is concerned, they both agree that it's following Chanata. Okay, it's following Chanata. Now, why should it be that the esrog's relationship to Meiser is different than esrog's relationship to Shvius? So see Rashi over here. Rashi gives an explanation. I don't want to go through the explanation right now. It's important. It's obviously important. I don't want to go through the explanation right now. But Bakule Alma, both according to Rabbi Eliezer and according to Rabbi Gamliel, when it comes to an esrog and its relationship to Shvius, we follow Chanata. We follow it. It's treated like a standard fruit tree. Okay, so now it brings us now to the problem, which is that we have a Mishnah. Our Mishnah is clearly making a distinction between Esrog and Lulav. Both of them are subject to Kedusha Shvias, but the Esrog this year and the Lulav only next year. And why? And why should that be? So right, what we're suggesting at this point in time is, well, I'll tell you the difference. In other words, when it comes to the Esrog, it follows when the fruit grows, which obviously is, we're discussing the year after Shemitah. So when it comes to the Esrog, it follows Chanata. But when it comes to the the Lulav, it follows Lakita. Okay. So the Gemara, to which the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, so our Mishnah now is going to be following not Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Gamliel, but rather another Tana, a third Tana. Detanya will enter the Brisa. I'm Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi quotes the following. Avtumos heid mishum chamisha zakenim. That Avtumos quotes in the name of five zakenim. Esrog achalakita lamaiser. So when it comes to Esrog, so it's going to be Basta Lakita, and Rabbi Senu Nimnabu Shavamru, Ben Lamaiser, Ben Lashvias. And the Chachamim and Usha said, do you know that when it comes to an Esrog, and it's going to follow not the time that it grows on the tree, but rather the time that's picked off the tree? So that's not only in relationship to Meiser, but also in relationship to Shemitah as well. So Shvias Mandekar Shmei, so the Gemara says, really? When did Shemitah become part of the discussion in the Braisa? Chesra Mechzer V'Hachi Ketani. So we are missing part of the Braisa. Let's get the complete version of the Braisa. Esrog Achar Lakita LaMeiser, V'Achar Chanata LaShvias. So when it comes to Meiser, so it follows Lakita. Meaning in that way, the Esrog is going to be like a vegetable. However, when it comes to Shvias, it's going to be Chanata, meaning it's like a fruit. And Rabbi Seinu Nimnu Busha, and the rabbis took a vote in Usha, and the Amru Esrog Basa Lakita, Bein LaMeiser, Bein LaShvias. And they say no, that when it comes to the Esrog, both in its relationship to Meisros and its relationship to Shemitah, it's always going to follow the Shas Lakita. Okay, so now, what we got from that entire discussion is that we have now a Tana. The Tana that says that when it comes to an Esrog, in terms of assignment of the year, not only for Meiser, but even for Shvias as well, so the Esrog is going to follow the time that's picked off the tree. Okay, now, what we have just established is now we have a working pshat within our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that here we are now at the threshold of the Shemitah year, and we not only that, but in other words, we're at Sukkos, so obviously a day or two before Sukkos. And so the Mishnah says, make sure that the not to buy the Esrog from the Amaretz. So what's our Mishnah talking about? So good. So now, at least according to this Tana, meaning Rabbi Senu Sheba Usha, according to this Tana, now I understand. So it must be that the Esrog was just picked off the tree. And when it comes to the Esrog, what year is it assigned to? It's going to be based on Lakita. So the Esrog was just picked off the tree. And now, since it was just picked off the tree, so now I have to worry about Shemitah and Kedusha's Perishis when it comes to the Esrog. And that's why either try to get him to gift it to you, or do a havla'a, and why didn't the Mishnah concern itself regarding lulav? Because the lulav was either was picked off the tree beforehand. Okay, let's say that. Let's say it like that. Okay, the lulav was picked off before, but in other words, but when it comes to the esrog, so the esrog is going to be following shas lakita. Okay, good. That's a working pshat within our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara is going to take a step backwards. Because what comes out from this entire discussion is that the Gemara just simply assumed that Kedushas Perishvias doesn't apply to the Esrog, but applies to the Lulav as well. As I pointed out at the beginning of Shir today, that's a little bit strange, right? If you would have asked me before Shir today, I've done this Masechta maybe once before, maybe two times before. Okay. So in other words, I knew it before. But I always in my mind have this idea that Kedushas Perishvias is for Peros. The name gives it away, or seems to give it away. But again, what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to expand a little bit. No, it's not true. It's not just a pre that you can eat, but it's for anything that you can make usage of it, anything that you can get benefit from it. So to which the Gemara now wants to know, like, how did we know all this? And that's where we're headed to in the Gemara. So time of the lulav barshishas anichlan sushviyasu. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, the reason why our Mishnah didn't mention lulav is because the lulav over here is that it's a bar shishis, meaning the lulav was picked in the sixth year and doesn't have kedusha shrius, which means, of course, Hadashriyas Kadosh. That means that the lulav in the seventh year is going to have Kedushas Perishriyas. So the Gemara says, Amai, Eitzim Ba'amahu. So to which the Gemara says, I don't understand. It's wood. How does it have Kedushas Perishriyas? Ve'eitzim Ein Behem Mishum Kedushas Shriyas. And I'd like to first establish that wood is not subject to Perishriyas. Now again, if you would have asked me, I would have said, you know why? Because it's wood. It's not a fruit. But that's not the route the Gemara is going to go down. In fact, the Gemara is going to say like this. Ale kanim ve'ale gafanim shegivan lechova. If you collected grapevines or palm tree or palm branches, and you collected them lechova. Chova, Rashi says machbei, basically some sort of storage. So al pnei asada. So liktan la'achila. If what you're going to do is you're going to eat it. Okay, grapevines are edible. Okay, I know we're used to the grape leaves. But if you gathered it for achila, so yesh mem b'shem kedusha shvias. Okay, fine. So now it's going to have kedusha shvias because now we're going to be treating it like a pri. However, liktam leitzim ein b'em b'shem kedusha shvias. But if I gathered it for wood, it's not going to have kedusha shvias. Okay. Now why? So hold that thought for just a moment. Okay. The simplest explanation is because it's not edible. But in a moment, we're going to even clarify that point better. But right now, why should the lulav of the dalet minim have kedushas per shvias? It's not, no one's going to eat it. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam Damakra, Lachem Laachla, Lachem Dumya de Laachila, Mishanasu Birashava, Yatsu Eitim Shanasam Acher Biuran. So the Gemara now gives us a Yesod. And this is where the entire daf rests on basically these two lines of Gemara. And that is as follows. The reason why wood is not subject to Peir Shvias is not because it's not a pre. Meaning the wood, you and I can get usage out of it. In fact, we do. So typically, what do we do with wood? So we burn it. Now we burn it for heat. But typically speaking, we burn it for food. In other words, we're going to cook with the wood. Okay. Now there is usage that comes with the wood. Now with usage, so in terms of Peir Shvias, so we're going to have a very clear definition of what kind of pri is subject to Kedusha Shvias and what kind of pri is not. If the Hana'a and the beer are coming simultaneously, so then it's going to be subject to Kedusha Shvias. If the Hana'a only comes after the Bi'ur, so then it's not going to be subject to Kedusha Shvias. How do I know that? Because the Torah says, Le'achla. The Torah says that when is it, in fact, that something is going to be subject to Kedusha Shvias? When it is something like the act of eating. Now, what we're going to do is break down the act of eating. What is the act of eating? I'm getting benefit, and I'm destroying the item. And that is occurring simultaneously. Now, to which the Gemara is saying is, now that we break it down to its components, so anything that behaves in that manner, where Hanan beer are coming at the same time, is going to be subject to Peir Shvias. Now, with that stated, so when it comes to wood, it is not because wood is not an edible item. That's not the key issue. The key issue is that when it comes to wood, its benefit only comes after it's destroyed. Meaning, what do you do with wood? So first you burn it, you turn it into coal, then you cook on top of it. Since the hana comes after the biur, so therefore it's not going to be subject to Peir Shvias. Okay? So the Gemara says, Vayika eitzim demashchan, da'anasan biur and shava. You know, a lot of times what we do with wood, especially if it's an oily wood, is that we use it for illumination, not for cooking. To which the Gemara says, so if that's true, so if I'm taking a tree and cutting off a branch, and I'm not planning on cooking with it, but rather I'm using it for light, for illumination, so then the hana'a and the beer are coming simultaneously. And it therefore should be subject to the Kedusha Shvias, right? So I'm a Rava, stam eitzim la'asaka heinom din. Just 1 second. So stam eitzim la'asaka heinom din. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not the standard reason why it is that you are cutting wood. In other words, yes, some people cut it for light and illumination, but the standard reason why a person would cut wood is to use it for fuel for the fire and fire for cooking. And so since that's standard, so therefore standard wood is therefore not going to be subject to Kedusha Shvias because the hana'a and the beer are not coming simultaneously. Okay. Yes.
I think it's the oil.
Okay,
could be. Until the oil is
completely. I'm ready to accept that. Rashi just simply says it's la'or. You're burning it for light.
Why
No, not necessarily. In other words, the hana over here means hana that you and I would receive, but the hana, in order to be subject to Kedusha Shvius, the hana has to be in conjunction. It has to be running parallel with the beer. And so, like achila, like eating. So if it follows that model, fine, and if not, so then it's just not subject to Perish Shvius, or Kedusha's Perish Shvius. Now, ve'etzem la'asaka tanaihi. Now, the Gemara says, okay. Now, and this is the way Rashi prefers to explain the Gemara. Rashi does present an alternative way to explain the Gemara. Rashi writes over here, it's really interesting. Rashi writes over here, the alternative way, which we're not going to go through right now, because I'd like to streamline the Gemara as best as possible, and make it as easy to understand as possible. But just as an interesting biographical note, so Rashi writes that the alternative pshat, he says, look, I struggled. Rashi writes this. I struggled from a youth to try to understand it. I spent a lot of years of my life to do so. He says, I did receive it as a tradition from my Rebbeim. In fact, it operates with a different girsa that you and I don't have. But he just writes. He says, and he actually names his Rebbeim. It's the Rashi, if you want to see it inside, it's Rashi Tanaihi. So he names a couple of his Rebbeim. He actually names a sefer of one of his Rebbeim. So it's just interesting biographical notes over here of Rashi in relationship to how hard he struggled to try to defend a pshat, which he ends up rejecting. But in doing so, he also has to reject a girsa of the Gemara, which was very prevalent at the time. And obviously, okay, that's one of the things that's underreported by Rashi. And when I say underreported, I mean by me. But one of the things that's underreported by Rashi is, as much as Rashi is a master at explaining the Gemara, he also efforted. Like, when I say efforted, I mean in ways in which, like, we can't even... He efforted to make sure that the girsa of our Gemara is a proper girsa. Meaning, remember, the Gemara was written by hand, you know, over the course of generations, and so mistakes are going to creep in. It's standard. It's called human error. It works. That's how it happens. So Rashi really efforted. He collected manuscripts and he compared one to another, and he really efforted to make sure that the girsa of the Gemara is in fact a good girsa. And since Rashi, obviously, you know, they continue to work on the girsa, but that's a big part of Rashi's input into the Gemara that goes underreported. Okay. Anyway, Tanaihi. So the Gemara says the following: the idea that wood is not subject to Perish Shvius, and again, why? Because the Hana and the Bira are not coming simultaneously. So the Gemara now notes, this is subject to a Machlokas HaTanaim. How do I know that? D'Tanya. Because we have the following Braisa. Ein Mosrin, Perish Shvius, Lo L'Mishra V'Lo L'Kvusa. So you have Perish Shvius. Let's talk about wine, right? Rashi says that's the example that we're discussing over here. So what can you do with wine that has Kedusha Shvius? Wine that grows during the Shemitah year. So obviously, you can eat it. You can turn it into wine and you can drink it. Okay, good. That's Hana and Bira coming at the same time. However, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, you cannot use it for soaking flax, and you cannot use it for laundering. Now, it happens to be that I don't know how wine serves as a good detergent. Okay? I do need to just... Okay? Right. It's white wine? I like that. It could be right. I don't know, and quite frankly, it's not... It cleans. Okay, good. Okay, fine. Okay, good. So anyway, however it works, the idea is, according to the Tanakhama, you cannot use wine for soaking or for laundering. And Rav Yossi, Omer, Mosrin. And Rav Yossi's like, I'm fine with it. You want to use the wine that has Kedushas Perish Shvius. You want to use it for soaking. You want to use it for laundering. I'm good with that. Okay, now, what's going on over here? So my time at the Tanakhama, so the basis of the Tanakhama is Namakra. La'achla v'lo mishra v'lo l'kvusa. The Torah says that what do you have to do with Perish Shvius? You have to eat it. And you can't use it for soaking. You can't use it for laundering. We're going to explain that better in just a moment. My time at the Rabbi Yossi, Amar Kar Lachem, Lachem L'chol Tzarcheichem. And according to Rabbi Yossi, so the Torah, when describing the Perish of Shvius, says, it's Lachem, it's yours. You could do with it as you want. V'afil l'mishra l'kvusa. And you could soak it and you can launder with it. Okay, now, let's get a better understanding of what's going on over here. V'tanakama aksiv lachem. So here now, standard discussion in the Gemara, where we have one word that gives us very strict regulations of what you can do with Perish Shvius. Eat it. On the other hand, we have another word in the Torah that tells us just the opposite. Lachem, it's yours. You can do with it as you want. And what we have to do over here is create a balance between which we're focusing on. Are we focusing on the achla or are we focusing on the lachem? But what you can't do is you can't ignore, meaning if you're focused more on achla, so what do you do with lachem? And if you're focused more on lachem, what do you do with achla?
Okay. Achla also doing just generalized consumption, any consumption, because achla, like
I understand, but achla is a, like a right, that, right, that's what David said. But generally speaking, when we talk about achil, we're talking about eating. Okay. But obviously, what Rabbi Yossi is telling you is, I know that, but lachem is also telling me it's yours. So again, so we're gonna try to create balance. Each of the Tanayim are gonna present a different way of how to balance the two, and which side we're gonna be favoring it more towards. But you have to balance the two. So v'tanakam aksiv lachem. So ayel lachem dumi adalachla misha nasu v'yerushava yatzu mishur kvusa shanasun achar b'yurun. So the Tanakama's approach, which is what we said earlier today, but now what the Gemara is now pointing out, it's subject to a machlokas Tanayim. Tanakama's approach is, look, what is achila? Again, I'm going to say it again. Break achila down to its components. There's a benefit. There's a destruction. They're occurring simultaneously. That now serves as our model in terms of what is going to be subject to Perishvias. Kedusha's Perishvias. So now when you launder, and when you soak flax, now I'm not going to, right, soaking flax I know close to nothing about. Okay. But laundering, I know a little bit about. I heard about laundry. So the, and the way Rashi presents it is that you launder now and then you wear it later on. Rashi in terms of the hana, Rashi says the hana comes at the time when you wear it, which obviously is coming at a later point in time. Tosos takes issue with the, when the shas hana is. It doesn't matter. The point is that the beer and the hana are not coming at the same time. Okay, good. Rav Yossi, haksiv lachla. So now, okay, so that's all the sheet of the Tanakhama, which has basically been the operating thought of today's daf. Rav Yossi, on the other hand, disagrees. He says, no, lachem is coming to tell me it doesn't matter that the hana and the beer are not coming concurrently. It doesn't matter. As long as there is hana and as long as there is beer, and even if they are, even if there's distance between the two of them, that's fine. So the Gemara says, Haksiv la'achla. Oh, so according to Rav Yossi, so what are you going to do with the fact that it says la'achla? So ha'humi ba'ile la'achla v'lo l'melugma. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Yossi, the achla is coming to tell me the following. Meaning his focus is more on lachem, which means that you can get whatever benefit you want from it. Okay. Which also means, by the way, that those things like wood, where the hana and the beer are not coming simultaneously, they're not coming simultaneously, so then, so it's also going to be subject to perishvias. So now, if you're Rabbi Yossi, what do you do with the word lachla? Which is obviously there to limit. So the Gemara says, lachla v'lo l'melugma. What you can't do with perishvias is you can't use it for medicinal purposes. Why? Because medicinal purposes are not shaveh lachol. Now, shaveh lachol, right, we've heard that term before, and when we get to Beitza, we're going to hear that term again. Shaveh lachol means that in the right here and right now, everyone can benefit from it. Now, obviously, someone who's ill will really benefit from medicinal usage. But the point is that for Rabbi Yossi, the la'achla comes to tell me that currently, right now, everybody could benefit from it. And if we're using it only as medicinal usages, it's not shavah l'chol. Kedetanya, we learned in a brisa, la'achla v'lo l'melugma. So, and we have a brisa that clearly is in this line of thinking, that I can use perishvias for consumption, but I can't use it for medicine. Ata omer la'achla v'lo l'melugma, o'eno ela v'lo l'kvusa. How do I know that the exclusion is for medicinal usages? Maybe the exclusion is for laundering. Lachem, amor. Ah, the Torah says lachem. Nah, use it for whatever usages you want, even laundering. So So the mir is coming for melugma, for medicinal usages. Mari l'rabos is lekvusa lahotzi es melugma. To which the Gemara asks now the simple question: how do you know you're right about that? Making that kind of distinction. So Mar Ba'ani, we turn the top of the Amud Beis. Mar Ba'ani sekvusa sheshava b'chol adam amosi esam alugma sheinu shav l'chol adam. Okay, I gave it away, but it's because I prepared the Gemara, meaning that when it comes to laundering, so laundering is shav l'chol. Everyone needs, appreciates laundering, and so since it's shav l'chol, so that's included through lachem. But when it comes to medicinal usages, it's not shavu l'chol. In other words, right now, currently, only people who are sick are in need of it and would benefit from it. But it's not shavu l'chol, and therefore you cannot use perishvias for something which is not shavu l'chol. Okay. What comes out now from this entire discussion between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim is that the definition of what is and what is not going to be subject to perishvias, so according to the Tanakhama, the Braisa, so he follows that in order for something to for an item to be subject to Kedushas perishvias, it has to be where the beer and the Hana coming at the same time. Wood would not fall in this category. Why? Because the Hana and the beer are not coming at the same time. The beer is coming now when you burn it. The Hana is only later when I cook on it. And since it's not coming at the same time, not subject to Kedushas perishvias. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi will tell you no, that this requirement of Hana and beer coming at the same time, Rabbi Yossi would simply say, it's not a thing. It's not a criteria in terms of determining whether something is going to be subject to perishvias. If the Hana and the beer are even disjointed, even though they're coming at separate times, it's still going to be subject to perishvias, which means that according to Rabbi Yossi, wood, oddly enough, wood that grows during the Shemitah year or that's clipped during the Shemitah year is in fact going to be subject to Kedusha Shvias, according to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Okay. And according to Rabbi Yossi, what is going to be limited or what is going to be excluded? Only something which is not Shav L'chol. The Hana is not Shav L'chol, like medicinal usages. Okay. Mantana, or just one more end note on this discussion. On the Amud Beis, Mem Amud Beis, three lines down. So now that we know the operating positions of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, so let me show you a Braisa and just simply name that Tana. Who is the author of this Braisa? Well, first let's see the Braisa. So what can I do with Parish Kedushas, Parish Shvias? So I could do a lot. What can't I do? I can't use it for medicinal purposes. I can't use it for Zilof, sprinkling it on the floor in order to make sure that the dust doesn't come up. And apikta zivin, so epikak, I think I'm saying it right. Yeah. So, basically something that induces vomiting. You ate too much, you want to, right, you'd like to not feel so bloated. So, okay, fine. So they would take various medicines in order to induce vomiting, and you can't do that with Peres Kedusha Shvias. Now, again, what do all these three things have in common? It's not shava l'chol. It's not something where everybody would benefit from it. So, come on, Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so hopefully at this point in time, it's obvious the author of this braisa we just learned together is in fact Rabbi Yossi, because the Rabbanan ha'ikanami mishok vusa. Because according to the Chachamim, the limitation of the hana that I cannot get from Peres Kedusha Shvias is going to be even laundering and even soaking, because there the hana and the beer are not coming at the same time. The author of the braisa did not exclude it. The author of the braisa is not going like the Tanakhama. It's going like Rabbi Yossi. Good. All right, I'm Rebbe Lazar. Okay, new topic for today, but we're still staying on the basic topic of Shvias. Just happens to be another aspect. Okay, Paris that have Kedusha Shvias. So we talked about the sale of the Esrog. Okay, the Esrog comes off of a tree. Let's assume that when it comes to the Esrog, we follow the Shas, well, it's a machlokas, whether we follow Chanat or we follow Kita, it doesn't matter. In other words, for the purposes of our discussion, whatever it follows, so it was on the tree at the during the Shemitah year, and it has Kedusha Shvias. Fine. And now, so what did we learn together yesterday and today? So if I were to sell it, so now the fruit itself still retains its Kedusha, but now the money that was transferred in its exchange is going to also take on Kedushas Peres Shvias. And that money now is going to have Kedushas Shemitah. Okay, and it has to be treated accordingly. By the way, to your question yesterday, Rashi says clearly today that you cannot buy durable goods with it. Right? You asked me yesterday about that. You can't. You can't. You're not allowed to buy durable goods with it. You can only buy foods with it that are consumable, and you have to consume them before the shas beer. Okay. So now the Gemara's discussion is as follows. So on the original transaction. So again, as I pointed out yesterday, and I just pointed out right now, so the Peres Shvias are still going to retain Kedusha. The money is also going to have Kedusha as well. From any subsequent transaction, if that which was exchanged for Shvias is now further bartered, so the Kedusha then jumps over to the next item. And it continues to jump with every transaction ad infinitum. Okay, good. So. So the Gemara now brings a, sorry. The Gemara brings down a machlokas. The Gemara goes like this. Sorry, I lost my spot. There we go. Amar Rav Elazar ein shvias mechala lazala derech mekach. So according to Rav Elazar, so when is shvias going to be mechala? When is it going to be deconsecrated? That's only when it is derech mekach. Transaction. Two parties involved. V'Rav Yochanan Amar bein derech mekach bein derech chilo. And according to Rav Yochanan, no. The deconsecration of Kedushas per shvias can be done either through transaction or even just through simple chilul. Chilul just simply means you don't need two people. You can have just simply one person who is going to be transferring the Kedusha from one item to another item. Now, my time of the Rav Elazar, now, these positions over here. So let's start off with the sheet of Rav Elazar. Dichsiv. Bishnazay ovel hazos v'samechle v'chesimkru memkar. So derech mekach v'lo derech chilul. So if you follow the psukim in Parshas Bahar, so you're going to see that after introduced to the idea of Kedushas Per Shvias, the Torah then goes on to describe about you selling an item. So based on, let's call it either a hekesh, or it's probably not a hekesh, probably more like smuchin. Okay, but whatever. Based on the juxtaposition of these two psukim, that comes to tell me that the only way to transfer Kedushas Per Shvias is only via mekach, only through a transaction. V'Rav Yochanan, my time, and now for as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, his position that it can be done even by derech chilul, so mekach bein derech, bein derech mekach, bein derech chilul, so it can be done by either. Rav Yochanan, hay chisimkru memkar mayavilei. What about the smuchin? So, mi bayilei lichad Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Now, the fact that the Torah juxtaposes these psukim is there to teach us a totally different point. Notably, D'tanya, we learned on a bright side. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Bo Rei, Kamakash Nafka Shel Shvias. If a person is lax in Kedushas Per Shvias and simply is not compliant with the Kedusha that we need to have for any growth during the Shemitah, so Adam Nosei V'Nosim Beperos Shvias. Let's say he does commercial activity with Per Shvias. So Lesof Mochers Metatlov. Eventually, Mida Keneged Mida. Right? You're not dealing properly in business, you're going to end up losing in business. And you're going to end up losing your possessions. Ves kelav, shenemra b'shnasi yovazos, tashu v'ishal achuzoso. V'samechle, v'sim kuru memkor lamisecha, v'gomer. And you look at Rashi and Chumash over there. Rashi brings down after, and if you're not learning the lesson, meaning a Kadosh Baruch Hu sending you a message, but you're not learning the lesson, so then you're going to end up selling your eved, you're going to end up selling your house, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Anyway, V'Rav Elazar, hi krad Rav Yochanan my avilei. Now, as far as Rav Elazar is concerned, what he's going to do with Rav Yochanan? Mi bai lelechad detanya. We learned in the following, ki yovel hi, kodesh, ma kodesh tofeses damav, ashrias tofeses es dameha. So, the Torah compares yovel to kodesh. Now, as far as yovel is concerned, that's the 50th year, obviously. The peir shvias during the yovel year is just like Shemitah. So whatever is true regarding Peres Yovel is true regarding Peres Shemitah. And just like the Torah compares the Peres Yovel to Kodesh, so too Peres Shvias is also going to be going to be treated like Kodesh as well. It's Tofes Es Dameha, which means that when the Peres Shvias is going to be transacted with money, so the money is going to have the Kedusha. So Tanya Kavasi Derav Lazar V'Tanya Kavasi Derav Yochanan. And we end off today's daf with Tanaim that support Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, Tanaim that support a Tana that supports Shitas Rabbi Elazar. Again, the question over here is that when we're looking at a transfer of the Kedushas Per Shvias, is it only done via Mekach, that is Shitas Rabbi Elazar, or can it even be done Derech Chilul, which is Shitas Rabbi Yochanan? So first, Tanya Kavasei Derav Elazar. So first, we're gonna quote a brisa that clearly supports Shitas Rabbi Elazar. And Shvias Tofes Es Damav Shenemar Ki Yovel Hi Kodesh Tiyeh Lachem. Ma Kodesh Tofes Es Damav V'Asur. Av Shvias Tofes Es Damav V'Asura. So just like when it comes to Kodesh, so anytime you make a transaction, it will be Tofes Kedusha. The item exchange is going to have the Kedusha. Same thing is true when it comes to Shvias as well. So now here's what I would have thought. look, when I redeem Kodesh, and we're not talking about something with Kedusha Saguf, because something with Kedusha Saguf is never going to lose its Kedusha. But something that has Kedusha's Damim, right? It belongs to Bedek HaBayis. And now what? And now we transfer it. So when you transfer it, so the money is then, the money will get the Kedusha, the item will lose its Kedusha, meaning a full transfer of Kedusha. I might have thought that the same thing should be true with Per Shvius. So Tam Alomer, Tihye, Behavyasa Tehei. So the Torah, by saying Tihye, tells me that the Per Shvius is always going to retain its Kedusha. So HaKeitzad, so the Gemara says, well, that's confusing. How does that play out? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how it plays out. Lakach Beper Shvius Basar. So let's say you have Per Shvius, the original, and then you exchange it for meat. So you barter now the Per Shvius with meat. So in that transaction, now what happens? The original Per Shvius retains its Kedusha. The meat also absorbs the Kedusha. That's on the original transaction. Elam Elam is Brian B'Shvius, and therefore both have Kedusha Shvius, subject to Biur. Meaning that when you get to Shas Biur, I'll say it's simple like the Rambam, you must destroy both. Now, Lakach Bebasar Dagim, now on every subsequent exchange. Let's say you have the meat. Now remember, the meat is not the original Kedusha, it only has the Tfisas Kedusha. Now you take the meat and you exchange it for fish. So Yatza Basar V'Nichnas Dagim. So now it's going to be treated like every transaction of Kedusha, where the Kedusha now will be jumping from the meat to the fish. Lakach B'Dagim Yayin Yatza Dagim V'Nichnas Yayin. And then same thing. And when I exchange fish for wine, the Kedusha goes to the wine. Lakach B'Yayin Shemen Yatza Yayin V'Nichnas Shemen. When you do it from wine to oil, goes to the oil. HaKeitzad Achron Achron Nichnas B'Shvius U'Priyatzma Osir. Okay, good. So like we've already... The Braisa is super clear in that the original Per Shvius is always going to retain its Kedusha. And then on the first transaction, the item of bartering is going to receive the Kedusha. And for every subsequent transaction, it jumps to the next item. Now, Middik Tani Lakach, Lakach. Now, in the Braisa, how many times was it repeated? Transaction, transaction, transaction. So, I'm a derech mekach in derech elolo. So, this Braisa clearly is operating like the Shita of Rebbe Lazar, that the only way that Per Shvius are going to jump in its Kedusha is only derech mekach and not bederech achilo. Now, granted that the Braisa didn't say it super clearly, the Braisa was just giving examples, but by virtue of the fact that the examples are derech mekach, the Gemara assumes, oh, it can only be done during derech mekach. Tanya Kavase de Rabbi Yochanan. So, and now the Gemara quickly quotes a brisa supporting Rabbi Yochanan. Echas shvius veechas meiser sheni mitzchalin al behema chay va'of ben chayin ben shchut and divrei Rabbi Meir. So it can be transferred onto and not just transferred but deconsecrated onto animals and birds, and whether they're alive or whether they're shechted. And according to the Chachamim, it can be transferred, but only onto animals after they were shechted, not before they were shechted. And the concern is that what's going to end up happening is that if I transfer the Kedusha onto a live animal, so you know what happens with a live animal? It multiplies. It's called reproduction. And now what's going to happen is that that Kedusha is going to it's going to spawn. It's going to expand. It's going to and you're going to lose control of it. It's no longer going to be a finite item. Okay. So that's why you can only be mechalal on shchuta, not on chaya. But what the point, of course, is that in this price of what's the key word that we're focusing on? Mischalel. Meaning it could be done via deconsecration. It doesn't need to be a transaction between two parties. Okay. So this brisa is clearly in support of Rav Yochanan. Okay, and the Gemara we're gonna pause over here, right? Amar Rava is where we're gonna begin tomorrow. Okay, good, nice stoppage in terms of the daf, but we happen to be also mid sentence. Okay, let's recap. Let's review today. Okay, admittedly, not an easy daf, but hopefully let's go over the basic points to make sure that we walk away with a clear understanding of the basics. When it comes to an esrog, so an esrog is going to have Kedusha Shvius. Now, when is that esrog going to be assigned to the Shemitah year? So as we learned at the beginning of today's daf, it's a machlokas. Either it's going to be Abbasar Chanata or it's going to be Abbasar Lakita. It's a machlokas at Tanayim. In terms of the Psak Halacha, so the Gemara over here does not conclude. Because the Gemara doesn't conclude, the Rambam says we have to be Choshesh. We have to be worried both about Chanata and about Lakita. right? It happens to be as we're going into a Shemitah year. So what? All the Esrogim were already picked off the tree. Okay. I'm sure you knew this already, but it's not only is it a practical consideration, but it's also a halachic consideration as well. Meaning that if the Esrogim were left on the tree after Rosh Hashanah, so it may be subject to Peir Shvias, to Kedusha Shvias. Because again, the Gemara is left off with it may be following the point of Chanata or the point of Lakita. Okay, so but all of our Esrogim are already picked off the tree, so regardless, the Esrog both did not grow and was not even on the tree during the Shemitah year. Next year, obviously, it's going to be an issue. Certainly the Esrogim were on the tree and by next Sukkot were picked off the tree during the Shemitah year. Okay, so next year is where you have to worry about Shemitah. This year we don't have to worry about it. But anyway, that was part number one of today's daf, that when it comes to the Esrog, so in terms of what year it assigns to, so Machlokas HaTanai. Next part of today's daf, the Lulav. The Lulav may be subject to Kedushas Peir Shvias. Now, why? Why in the world should that be? It's not a fruit. So what we did this morning is that we had to expand our thinking. It's not a fruit, and I understand we're not eating it, but we are making usage of it. We're getting hanah from it. And so therefore, it may be subject to Kedushas Peir Shvias. Let's say it's even a little bit stronger. It is subject to Kedushas Peir Shvias. Now, why should that be? Wood in general is not subject to Kedushas Peir Shvias. So the Gemara says, yeah, but let me explain to you why wood is not subject to Kedushas Peir Shvias. Because when it comes to wood, the Hana and the beer are not coming at the same time. In order for something to be subject to Kedushas Peir Shvias, the Hana and the beer are in fact coming at the same time. Now the Lulav, it is coming at the same time. Now why? So Rashi explains over here. The Gemara doesn't say it. It's so funny. Gemara assumes that we know it. But Rashi explains because when it comes to the Lulav, we use it like a broom. And there, the benefit and its beer are coming at the same time. That you're sweeping really hard, so you're cleaning the house, and you are also you're destroying the broom in doing so. Okay, so that is why a lulav is in fact subject to kedusha shvias. This idea that wood is not subject to kedusha shvias because the hanan and the beer are not coming at the same time. So the next step of today's daf is that's a machlokas tanaim. It happens to be that the Chachamim subscribe to that viewpoint, but Rabbi Yossi doesn't. Rabbi Yossi says that even if the Hana and Beer are not coming at the same time, so it's still going to be subject to Kedusha Shvias. Good. And this idea of Rabbi Yossi, how does he learn it? It's a question of how to balance the Torah's two languages. One is La'achla, and the other is La'achem, and how do I balance between the two? That's the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. Our last point of today's daf is that when I have Perishvias or Kedusha's Perishvias, so its transfer of Kedusha from one item to another, is that only via Mekach? Is that only via transaction? Or can it be done even Beder Chilo? Machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, and right now we're in the middle of that machlokes between these Tanaim. I'm sorry, between these Amoraim.